Support comes from the St. Louis Public Library Foundation. During these challenging times, free access to digital resources is a necessity. You can help our community stay connected. Support your St. Louis Public Library at slpl.org.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. I was in Jefferson City late last month for the first day of candidate filing for Missouri's August primary. And it resembled opening day for baseball, primarily because candidates like Republican State Representative Philip Olerking of St. Louis County and Democratic State Representative hopeful Tara Murray of St. Charles County expressed this excitement and optimism about the start of the campaign season.
It's interesting seeing all the new candidates and people who are excited for their first time to run and all the ideas that they bring to the legislature about things that can be done better. And so it's really exciting.
They want something different. They want a change. They want people who listen to them. And the Democrats in St. Charles are going to be the ones who do that.
But while state legislative candidates had just a little bit of pep when they were signing up to run in the 2026 election cycle, it was a completely different story for some contenders for the state's congressional seats. That's because there's uncertainty over exactly what those congressional districts will look like. Missouri Republicans passed a new congressional map last year at the behest of President Donald Trump, who cajoled Republican-led states to redraw district lines to prevent Democrats from retaking the House in November. Unsurprisingly, anti-redistricting activists fought back both in court and through the referendum process. And one critical legal fight that remains unresolved revolves around whether the submission of referendum signatures to place the new map up for a statewide vote prevented that plan from ever going into effect. The stakes are monumentally high for Democratic Congressman Emanuel Cleaver.
It doesn't feel normal. It feels weird.
Republicans transformed Cleaver's Kansas City-based district into a GOP-leaning seat. And if judges rule that the new map is in effect, Cleaver may struggle to win re-election. If a map passed in 2022 is in place, then Cleaver will almost certainly prevail and provide yet another blow to the GOP redistricting push. Cleaver says he's running no matter what.
I think I owe that to all of the Missourians, over 300,000 of them, who went out and participated in a petition referendum. And, I think they will be satisfied somewhat if they're listened to.
Some of Cleaver's Republican opponents, such as former Boone County Clerk Taylor Burks, concede that the situation is not only confusing for candidates, but also befuddling to voters. Lawmakers didn't just change the lines for Cleaver and his GOP opponents. They also significantly altered districts encompassing the St. Louis region, including the 3rd Congressional District that Congressman Bob Onder represents. Onder contends that the new map will ultimately remain in place.
Well, it is a confusing situation, but the Constitution gives the county clerks until June to certify the signatures and then gives the Secretary of State until July. So it stands to reason that the law in question wouldn't be frozen. The law was passed by the constitutional procedure of passing the House and the Senate and being signed by the governor.
One of Onder's Democratic opponents, Bethany Mann, disagrees. She pointed to past instances when submitting referendum signatures prevented laws from going into effect, including a measure barring unions and employers from requiring workers to pay dues as a condition of employment.
It's a deliberate strategy to disenfranchise not just voters, but candidates who would file to run to serve their constituency. And when we carve up the maps, we the people don't get the voice. It's representatives picking us. So as far as our strategy goes, we know full well that we're being told to campaign in the new third. We feel very strongly that that will be overturned. We already have the signatures to do that in Missouri's third congressional district. So when the map goes back to the old gerrymandered map, we're going to beat Bob in that map too.
Joining us now to talk about the dark cloud of legal uncertainty over Missouri's congressional campaigns this year is Rudy Keller, the deputy editor of the Missouri Independent. Rudy, welcome to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Glad to join you, Jason.
How do you think this aforementioned legal uncertainty around Missouri's congressional map is affecting this year's midterm election?
Well, there's a lot of people who are probably waiting to file for the 5th District especially, people who, and then there are several people who are in and will find that if the map isn't used, the one passed last year, that they really have no path to victory and may decide that they'd rather spend their summer doing something else.
Yeah, I've noticed because you covered Senator Rick Bratton's campaign kickoff. He seems really confident that the new map is going to be in place. And as of airtime, the case involving which map is in effect has not been resolved yet. And even if it gets resolved today at a Coal County level, it's going to get appealed. Why are Republicans so overconfident that the map is going to include a more Republican version of the 5th District, especially when legal precedent seems to indicate that it's going to be the old map that's going to be in place?
Well, you've covered enough campaigns to know that at this point, every politician is confident they're right.
Yes, you're correct about that, Rudy, but continue.
So we have a series of court cases that are coming up. The People Not Politicians campaign believes they have the signatures and that they've already been verified in enough places to cause a referendum. So then it will be back up to the courts. Will we have a referendum at all? What map is in effect? Next week at the Missouri Supreme Court, we'll start even at the beginning. Did the legislature have this authority? And so this will be the first time we've gotten this whole idea up to the highest court in the state. But it's not really, shall we have a referendum or not, or which signatures to count? Is the map in effect? This is the more basic question of, did the legislature have the ability to change the congressional district map absent a new census report?
Yes, and let's talk about that, because that case, I think, is probably the most important of the morass of litigation that we have all been drawn under as Missouri political reporters. And Cole County Judge Christopher Limbaugh said lawmakers were allowed to do mid-decade redistricting because there was nothing expressly prohibiting lawmakers from pursuing that redraw. What are like redistricting opponents going to try to say to the Supreme Court to try to get them to reverse that decision?
Well, it's really, what does the absence of language in the Constitution mean? There is no prohibition. There is no allowance in the constitutional provision under which redistricting occurs. It just says, when you get a report from the census at the end of after each census in a year ending in zero, the General Assembly shall divide the state into districts corresponding with the number of representatives to which it is entitled. And so there is nothing about doing it any other time. Judge Limbaugh's ruling was that there is a legal principle. As long as the Constitution doesn't say the legislature can't do something in any area, the legislature can do it. This is going to be argued as a special case because there is a tie to a particular event, the delivery of a census report. So that's what I'm expecting to hear next week, are these similar arguments we heard before Judge Limbaugh, but before the seven judges of the Missouri Supreme Court.
You know, I think people may look at the composition of the Missouri Supreme Court and say, well, there's five GOP appointees, so it's unlikely they're going to try and block a GOP map. And they're going to talk in exactly that tone of voice, by the way. I'm just kidding, obviously. But, you know, the Supreme Court in Missouri does have a pretty long record of defying GOP expectations, most recently with a law around rewriting ballot initiatives and less recently upholding Medicaid expansion. Your time horizon covering the court is longer than mine, but has it always been this way that you can't necessarily predict what the court is going to do just based on the governor that appointed these judges?
Oh, well, certainly the governor never has a pure choice for a member of the Missouri Supreme Court. They can't just turn to their best partisan friend and put them on the court. That person has to get through a screening process, the nonpartisan court plan that presents three people to the governor. Now, there's rarely been a period when the governor, if he was interested, or she was interested, if we ever have a female governor, could get their the particular person they want on that panel from which he was to choose. But that still is far away from just putting on the people you want or electing them directly, which is what happens in many states.
Yeah, I think that if there's anything that I've learned from watching the Missouri judiciary, especially what you just described, which is Missouri plan judges or the nonpartisan court plan, there is a level of independence based off of that is different from states where they're directly elected or even the U.S. Supreme Court. So I will agree with you on that. I do want to just go back a minute to sort of one of the reasons why I think candidates might be filing for districts that A, they may not live in, and B, may not be competitive as they think. And that is what Secretary of State Denny Hoskins, a GOP official who's contending along with Attorney General Catherine Hanaway that the new map is effect, told me. And that is that there is no residency requirement for filing. Therefore, there really is no harm in filing. So this is what he told me last week.
When you run for Congress, you don't have to live in the congressional district. So you can file I live in Warrensburg, Missouri. I could file in Jason Smith's seat if I wanted to. I'm not running against Jason Smith, and I am not filing for any office. So I just want to clarify that.
That was Secretary of State Denny Hoskins talking with me late in February. So, Rudy, is the secretary right there? And is there really no risk in people like Taylor Burks or Rick Bratton filing for this 5th district seat, even if the old map is in effect and their chances of beating Emanuel Cleaver basically go to zero in that instance?
Yeah, it really becomes a question of what does the candidate want to do? Senator Bratton ran for the 4th district seat when Vicky Hartzler ran for the United States Senate and it had just been rearranged. The person that won it was Mark Alford. He did not live in the district when he filed for office. He bought property within the district during the campaign and then has built a house since, if I understand correctly.
Yeah, and I think Bob Onder was in a very similar situation where his house was like a couple of miles away from the 3rd District, and I believe he has moved into the 3rd District. It should be noted that under the new map, all of St. Charles County is in the 3rd District, so that will no longer be a relevant concern. In the last couple minutes, there are like 8 or 9 other cases involving redistricting that are still pending. I think the two we've talked about, which map is in effect and whether mid-decade redistricting, are the two most important. But are there any other ones that you are keeping an eye on out for that may be significant in this legal fight?
Well, the one that is most significant is the case over which signatures should be counted. Now, should it turn out that the signatures that within the signatures they are counting, 200,000 of the 300,000 turned in approximately, that the referendum should be certified, well, then that case is less important. There is a case over in Kansas City, actually two cases combined in one, that went to trial last month over the legality of the district, including whether or not the bill was so flawed that it included two precinct, a single precinct in two separate districts, therefore confusing which people are in which district and making it potentially a non-contiguous district. So there are rulings coming, there are rulings pending, and there are ancillary lawsuits between the parties fighting over other things, and I count 10 total.
Well, the real winner in all of this are all the lawyers who will be able to buy and build new houses with all the money they're making from these cases. On that note, Rudy Keller is the deputy editor for the Missouri Independent. Rudy, thank you so much for your time today.
Absolutely, Jason. Have me anytime.
Today's episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.